Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 149 of the Panelcast. This is Anthony, back again with your host as always, AJ.
Deadpool!
Yep, we are going to be talking about that, but we'll save that for later during our review section. Apart from that, we've got the regular news bits for you, and we'll be back with you with all of that right after this break.
Mentally disturbed, I'm a super llama, drama llama, big fat mama llama.
Hi, this is Joey Labarnik, and you can check out my latest comic, A Man Called Kraken, at comixology.com, and be sure to keep checking the Forbidden Panel website, because you're going to be able to see my artwork in the upcoming Volume 2 of Forbidden Tales.
It's me, bitch. Yes, I am that llama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Panelcast. So, in this segment, our news segment, we're going to be trying to fill as much fluff in your ear as humanly possible, as we didn't really have a lot of news in the past couple weeks. And we know it's partially our fault, because we took a week off to embellish into the glory that was Deadpool. So, coming back in, I mean, there's not really much out there, but we're going to do our best to give you something. So, Anthony, why don't you go ahead and take it first?
All right. What I've got is something that is of interest to me. And, you know, Sci-Fi Channel's really been doing a pretty decent job recently. So, let's see. Sci-Fi's got a new original series titled Prototype that's supposed to be getting a pilot soon. The story centers on three unlikely cohorts who inadvertently stumble upon an invention that challenges the very nature of quantum physics, a discovery which in turn puts their lives in grave danger. Now, the premise in and of itself sounds kind of generic, but Sci-Fi's done a decent job in the last couple of years with their original series. So there's a lot you can do with it, at least inside my head. There's a lot that I can see being done with it. So I'm hopeful that there's something great. But I mean, 12 Monkeys, The Magicians, The Expanse, Sci-Fi's done a decent job. So, and, you know, I'm a physics nerd. So, you know, anything science fiction-y related to quantum physics sounds cool to me.
You know, I've been on the same boat. I've been dying for a good sci-fi TV series ever since we've lost the last Star Trek. You know, without that, and Fringe, you know, shows like that have been missing from my TV diet. So Sci-Fi's really been stepping up with that, filling in, especially with, like, Dark Matter and Expanse and stuff, like you said. So I'm very interested in seeing this. However, maybe it's the wrestler fan in me, but when I hear the Prototype, I think John Cena 20, 30 years ago. You know, and I'm automatically looking at that. So.
And see, I'm a video game junkie, so when I hear Prototype, I think hardcore action game. So.
Right, it's fairly confusing. But at the same time, it feels like, you know, as I said, I've been watching Dark Matter, which is based off a comic book, so yay, comic books. But most of those shows that Sci-Fi has been putting out has felt like they've been happening on a set. You know, with the few exceptions. I mean, even Battlestar Galactica, the reboot of that, felt like at times it was filmed on a set. So my concern is that it's going to continue to feel that way. And I'm hoping eventually that it'll bleed into maybe Sci-Fi After Dark or something like that, where you get a more adult style Sci-Fi Channel where we get, like, the cursing and the nudity and the violence that we expect out of some of these TV shows instead of, you know, safely playing it across. Sometimes it comes across great, like I said, in Battlestar Galactica, but sometimes it just falls a little bit short. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Hopefully they produce something great, but until it actually hits, who knows? So what have you got, AJ?
Well, Todd McFarlane's Spawn has seen two adaptations for the screen so far. A live-action New Line film in 1997, which was not really well-regarded, but I still liked it because I'm a dorky fan, and the soundtrack was awesome. As well as an incredibly dark and violent 1999 three-season HBO animated series that felt far truer to the character. That series was fantastic. Since then, there's been the odd talk of either a TV series or a movie revival of the property, but so far, not much of that is happening. Speaking with comicbook.com, McFarlane himself has revealed that he's at least trying to pitch a new take and has recently finished a script. He goes on to say, quote, I finished the script and I'm in the process of editing. It's 183 pages and producers usually like 120. For those of you who aren't familiar with script writing, you usually want to think about a minute a page. So at 183 pages, that's over 3 hours, just barely, but still. Continuing the quote, I still think it's going to end up being about 140 because I'm putting in details for myself. End quote. In the comics, the character is a highly trained soldier resurrected after being sent to hell due to the material any film adaptation would require a hard R rating. The previous film adaptation often struggled with the PG-13 rating it was saddled with. Michael I. White, John Leguizamo, Melinda Clark, and Martin Sheen starred in that take. And for me personally, I believe it's John Leguizamo's best role that he'd ever put on. The sacrifices he made for that film are just phenomenal.
He was a fantastic clown.
Yeah, absolutely. His lines were kind of crappy, but...
yeah, but his actual portrayal of the character was pretty solid.
Right. I'm watching Martin Sheen smoking cloves throughout the entire thing, which at the time, you know, all those goth kids were like, ooh, he's smoking cloves, he's one of us. You know, we were all, like, jonesing out about it, but... with the technology the way it is right now, with films the way they are, with everything that's been happening lately, Spawn, if they do it right, could be awesome. But I say that about everything, you know? McFarlane Toys and McFarlane has been just launching himself crazy with this intensely detailed art style that he puts forth. And if they can cover that in the films, then you've got a hit on your hands.
I've always been a fan of the character and, you know, enough of a fan that, yes, I was one of those people that also enjoyed the 97 film and loved the animated series as well. So, you know, I think part of it is that the could be great thing. Part of it is we're fans. You know, we see the potential for greatness in these things and we hope that they live up to it. And
right. But that can be said true about every single thing.
That's true. So, you know, we've got a script that hopefully gets pared down a little bit because a 3-hour Spawn movie would be too dang long. But we don't know who's going to be cast. We don't know who's going to direct.
We don't even know if they're going to like the script or not to right. Take it forward. So
it's like I hold out hope for, you know, rebooting Spawn and making something fantastic out of it. But you never know. You just don't.
Especially with Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. And it's granted, the hard R rating is what Spawn probably really needs to flourish. But getting that by is always going to be a rough sell, depending on size of the budget, at least.
Exactly. What other news bits do you have?
Let's see. I've got one more, and it's in the same vein as my last one. Apparently, I'm hung up on sci-fi TV shows this time around. Netflix has picked up a 10-episode series, Altered Carbon, based on the 2002 book of the same name. The sci-fi series is being produced, let's see, Skydance Television is running it, and it's based on Richard K. Morgan's novel. It's set in the 25th century. In the futuristic story, the human mind has been digitized, and the soul is transferable from one body to the next. Takeshi Kovacs, a former elite interstellar warrior known as an envoy who has been imprisoned for 500 years, is downloaded into a future he had tried to stop. If he can solve a single murder in a world where technology has made death nearly obsolete, he'll get a chance at a new life on Earth. It sounds cool. It sounds warped and twisted, and the psychological ramifications of being able to bounce from body to body are... really kind of out there. But
it sounds like it's going to be something like The Surrogates meets The Fallen meets anything done by Takashi Miike. you know, I'm thinking more along the lines of Johnny Mnemonic style, but still.
Yeah. But it has potential, and Netflix hasn't skimped the least bit in putting forth their programming. They've done a lot with, you know, budget-wise and backing and pulling in the big names and best directors that they can. So it could prove to be just one of those kick-ass sci-fi things that we haven't seen in a good long while. And I'm I don't even know. I don't know where to go with it. 10 episodes sounds about right, meaning it's not too much, not too little. But if it gets popular, I don't know what they're going to do with it.
See, along the same lines, though, I mean, that's exactly what they did with Orange is the New Black and Daredevil. You know, they made these short series, which were amazing. But we got to wait a year, literally, before we can see it again.
Yeah, because when they do it right, we binge it. And right. It's gone within a day.
You know, and I even did the same when they brought back Longmire. You know, I watched the entire season in one day, which was awesome. And now I got a year. You know, it's like no draw out period for it.
But yeah, that's kind of a catch-22. It's one of those, man, that episode was so awesome. I can't wait for the next one. And then you have to wait a week.
Right.
Or more. Or, wow, I loved that series. But damn it, I have to wait until the next set comes out next year.
At the same time, the quality and storyline gets to step up because instead of filming it every week, you know, like they do with normal TV series, they film these back to back to back to back to back. So in the same way that Lord of the Rings and all that stuff were done, this feels like a continuous flow. So the actors actually get a block of time committed to do this, and then they have the rest of the year off to breathe and do other projects and whatnot. Instead of, you know, committing to like a 6-month film shoot or something like that.
Yeah, and I have to admit that has added to the continuity of a lot of the series that I've liked in recent times, that they've just kind of been blocked off and all filmed all at one time. So
right, I mean, nobody gets pregnant in the middle of the series and they have to change storylines.
Right.
You know, they don't have to worry about changing hairstyles or anything like that, or car accidents or motorcycle accidents or stuff like that. You know, if they just keep filming in this continuous place. I mean, sure, all that stuff can still happen, but
it's a lot less likely.
Right. Not as far drawn out as, say, your regular everyday TV series that you watch.
Yeah, something filmed over, you know, weekly over the course of like 3-4 months.
Right. Like a sitcom or anything like that.
Right. All right. So we'll see what Netflix does, and that wraps me up for sci-fi TV coverage for the week. What have you got, AJ?
One of my favorite actors, who, he's one of those guys where you saw him in this original film as a kid, and you wondered, what the hell happened to him since then? Well, the answer is he became a complete fucking badass, is what happened. Jackie Earl Haley, who, if you're not a fan of the original Bad News Bears, you would not recognize who it is. He played Kelly in that movie. He played the badass motorcycle riding kid that was just troublesome. Has grown up to become such great characters, such as Rorschach from The Watchmen. He was in Little Children. He was in a TV show recently, Human Target? Yes, Human Target.
Yeah.
Well, and he was also in the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street. He played Freddy Krueger. So recently, well, now he's been hired to play the iconic villain Odin Quincannon in AMC's upcoming series adaptation of Garth Ennis and Stephen Dillon's 1990s Vertigo comic, Preacher. I love Preacher. It's one of my favorite comic book series out there. And it revolves around Reverend Jesse Custer, who's being portrayed by Dominic Cooper, Howard Stark, and Agent Carter, if you're not familiar with him. Anyway, he plays a badass Texas preacher who, after losing his faith, learns God has left heaven and sets out to track him down and hold him responsible for his abdication. Sorry. His beer-guzzling vampire ex-girlfriend Ruth Negga accompanies him for his quest for answers. Haley has booked a 6-episode arc in the series, playing a small, decrepit man with the unscrupulous iron will necessary to be the most powerful man in Texas, in a Texan county, thanks to him being the owner and operator of a 125-year-old slaughterhouse business. He's also a member of the local KKK branch, has sex with a mannequin made out of meat products, and clashes multiple times with Jesse. The series is slated to debut sometime this summer. Now, this is kind of a good news, bad news scenario. And that, like, I'm excited to see Jackie Earl Haley in the series. I'm excited to know that this character is coming about. I am, unfortunately, questioning whether it's going to be in this season or next season, because my understanding was that they were already done filming. So maybe I was incorrect. However, it's on AMC. I seriously doubt you're going to see the real depravity that this character takes on in the book, to including the sex with a mannequin made out of meat products. And when I say mannequin, I don't mean your average size mannequin. I mean this thing went from floor to ceiling in the comic book, and he just dove in there. It was fairly wrong, but I don't know if we're going to be able to see that on AMC as opposed to seeing it on Netflix or what have you. So we'll have to wait and see. But I am excited to see Jackie Earle Haley coming to the role, knowing what the kind of actor he is and how just nasty he is. He was in RoboCop, if you've seen the reboot of that. And he just, yeah, I'm excited to see it. So.
So you think AMC is going to be at least as truthful as they can be to Preacher? Or are they... Because, you know, they do have restrictions and limitations.
So. I think that they're going to bank on the fact that their audience knows that. And, like with The Walking Dead, you know that they want to go further and show more, but they can't. So they take you right to that edge without losing any points. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. It's, you know, when you said his name, I couldn't conjure a face. You started listing off stuff that he's been in, and I recognize him. And I don't know, I probably should read Preacher before the series starts to air, but I know he's nailed the roles that he's had lately, the roles that I recognize him from, so it should be a pretty solid portrayal.
Even Freddy Krueger, I mean, he nailed the character. He may have been subject to a poor script and poor acting by everybody else, but he kind of nailed that character, you know.
But you can't always control the script or, you know, the right. Other actors around you. You got to feel bad for some of the best actors out there. They get cast in things, they take a job, and they realize a month into shooting, man, this script sucks. But what are you going to do?
I always feel bad for the guy, because in Bad News Bears, he was the tall guy, he was the bad boy, blah, 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 had long hair. Now he really didn't grow any taller. He's like my height and bald.
Yeah,
but he's turned that around for him, like, and turned himself into a badass. So
he's made himself a successful career. So
he played Rorschach, for Christ's sake. That should tell you something.
Pretty dang awesome.
Right.
All right, that wraps us up for news this time around. We'll be back with reviews after this break.
Hey everyone, Pinky here. Just want to tell you to go check out my column, Pinky in Cosplay Land, where I talk about cosplay, Lolita fashion on a budget, and how I conquered the world of pinup and cosplay. Check it out on ForbiddenPanel.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time for reviews. This time around, we've got Deadpool. Lots and lots of Deadpool. So, AJ, what were your thoughts? Impressions.
I don't feelings do impressions. Of the moment. I don't do impressions. I have no feelings. I was on, Xanax when we went and saw it. So, So a little background first. Growing up, my entire life, I was a Wolverine fan. Just Wolverine, everything. Then, at some point in time, the entire world became infatuated with Wolverine. And it felt like I saw him everywhere. And so I kind of got sick of him. And so I hopped over to the Deadpool train. Now, I was impressed with Deadpool when he first showed up in X-Force. But I continued following his series and stories and whatnot all the way up until about 3 years ago, when Deadpool became the new Wolverine and had like 12 of his own titles out there. It was insane. So I kind of dropped the Deadpool. But there's still love there for Deadpool, because, you know, he's the mark with the mouth. I love him. So I went into this movie knowing what Ryan Reynolds was going to do, knowing that when he first showed up in X-Men Origins Wolverine, he didn't get to be Deadpool the way that he should have been, which is probably the most disappointing part about that movie for me, was that he was just such a weak character.
That's the most disappointing part about that movie for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, sure, Wolverine running through time with Sabretooth kind of killed it for me, but I mean, the opening sequence of that movie was like the opening sequence of 66 Batman and Robin, where they're just running through time. That's all they did was run through time. It was annoying. But yes, because I know what Ryan Reynolds is capable of. I know what type of sense of humor he has. He's always been the dream character to either be Deadpool or Wally West, because those are the two characters that his personality is just perfect for. So knowing he was going into this film, that he pushed for this film to be a rated R, that he wanted to get it made, and to make up for what he performed, how he did it in X-Men Origins Wolverine, I was excited about, because I know what he is capable of, and I know what Deadpool is about. Needless to say, I was not disappointed. This movie was funny, it was action-packed, it was just over-the-top awesome. Is it going to win an Oscar? You're an idiot if you think that. But it has been proven with its records that it's smashing records already, with having the highest opening R-rated film opening weekend, you know, of all time. So he's already smashing records. Everybody knows what's going on with him. It's awesome. It's awesome. If I had a complaint, would be the misuse of Negasonic Teenager, because she did not have her actual powers. But other than that, I mean, I got no bitch. Even the misuse of all the other his origin story, the lab where he was created, all that stuff, I have no complaints, even though it wasn't following the comic book. Because I got into the movie and I enjoyed the movie for what it was. And any opportunity to be able to see Miranda Baccarin once again naked, to see Inara getting down and dirty, is okay with me. It was the whole reason I watched one season of Homeland.
And see, now I...
And V, she's the reason I watch V, even though her neck was like excruciatingly long in that film, that show. Yeah,
I don't know what was going on with that. See, my background is a little bit different. Well, no, it's a whole lot different. I was never a Deadpool fan. I would pick up the comic from time to time and I would try to get into it, but I just never fell in love with the character. It's possibly because I was a Deathstroke fan, and when Deadpool first came on the scene, he just felt like a cheap imitation to me. He evolved into something else over time, but I still never really could get on the train. So I went into this whole thing kind of skeptical. I was like, okay, I know enough about Deadpool to know who Deadpool is, to know his background, to know what the character is supposed to be like, to know that the Deadpool that showed up in X-Men Origins wasn't Deadpool.
And it was so, not even was it not Deadpool, it wasn't even the same actor.
Yeah, I know. The funny thing was, Ryan Reynolds, at the beginning of that film, the attitude and the sass and everything with which he got to portray Wade Wilson was close enough that it felt pretty accurate for Deadpool. It was very toned down as far as language and behavior goes. But that was more what I would have expected, you know, rather than whatever the hell that was we got at the very end of things.
Yeah, because that was a totally different actor that got to play Deadpool at the end. That's fucking stupid.
In one film. He lost the role in one film. But you know what? I'm not even a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. I'm just not. There's stuff he's done that he's been utterly fantastic in. I will admit to that, but he screwed up some stuff too.
I loved him. He's dreamy.
But he nailed it in this one. So I went in horribly skeptical, and I enjoyed the ride. It was funny. The ridiculous hyper-violence of it really speaks to me. So the hyper-violence more than Deadpool's sense of humor actually got to me, but the gags and the gimmicks were actually pretty spot on. He actually nailed the role totally. Granted, there were creative tweaks that were made to make it fit for a film, you know, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, the creation in the lab, the little bits and pieces here and there. But it was a good ride.
The fact that it ended on a happy ending, I mean, come on.
I enjoyed it more than I expected to. Still not jumping on the Deadpool bandwagon, but it was a good movie. It was fun. And for, you know, there's been all kinds of hype about it, and whenever there's that much hype, I expect to be horribly disappointed in something. But they nailed it pretty well. It's one of those things, if they go forward, which, you know, I've already seen the buzz out there and read the notes that Fox has already greenlit a sequel for Deadpool. Before the movie ever actually premiered on Friday, Fox had greenlit a sequel. So going forward, as long as they stay true, it could be really cool. Could just be fun now and then, you know?
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Ryan Reynolds, like, I'm a huge fan of his. I've seen pretty much all of his films. I knew going in that he had it. And it's not... I mean, come on. We all saw all of the ads that they had all over the place. All of the testicular cancer and the check your boob thing. And all the other ads he had up there for, you know, Christmas and all that stuff. You knew already he had the attitude and he had everything down. And can I say the first, other than a Batman suit, maybe, the first fully functional yet comic book style costume that we've seen in a film so far? I mean, his outfit was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Without having to be spandex.
That's true. Wow. I didn't really pay much attention to it. I didn't think about it. Even, but you're right.
Even his eyes, the white eyeballs he had in there, they blinked.
Yeah. Okay?
And you saw his mouth moving underneath it. It was perfect. They did an amazing job on the costume. And I don't think they're getting enough love for it. But, you know, congratulations on that costume. They did a fantastic job.
Sooner or later, someone else will take notice. But yeah, you're right. It's being overshadowed at this moment. But come on, man. It's an R-rated superhero movie that freaking blew out box office records for R-rated films.
Right.
So it's a standalone R-rated superhero movie. It's like not even tied into something else right now.
There is talk that they're going to tie it into other films, the whole universe, and that's cool. Unfortunately, they will have to dumb it down, and that's not what I'm a... Not dumb it down, but, you know.
Well, you know, if they... you know, there's been talk about branching out into the rest of the X-Force universe. So, if they stick with this kind of theme in the X-Force universe of films, then they might not have to dumb it down.
Right. But, I mean, that's a if a woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other things have been those, for those of you who stayed for the after credit scene, I'm at the point right now where if you don't know, you're stupid. there's been, he came out and mentioned that Cable will be in the sequel. And also, news today has been released that Deadpool will also have kind of a boyfriend in the next film. So that should be curious. But, as far as Cable goes, I mean, there's already talk about getting Stephen Lang, who played the main bad guy in Avatar. For me, he will always be Ike from Tombstone. Always getting his ass whipped and being the little bitch boy. He wants to take on Cable. Kevin Nash of the WWE fame has been talking about taking over being Cable. I think Kevin Nash would nail it. But that's just me. Stephen Lang more than likely will get it with this whole career change that he's been doing lately. However, the one misconception that's out there that I have to talk about is, or at least touch base on, is that this is the first R-rated comic book film. I'm sorry, you are incorrect.
Very.
Let me go through the list of R-rated comic book films. Whether they had been successful or not, they still existed. Well, I can't now because Windows decided to close on me. So let me see about opening it up again. Please give me a second. In the meantime, Anthony will entertain you with his dancing. Anthony?
I don't dance. What the hell are you talking about? No. No. No dancing. Verbal gymnastics, maybe?
Whoa. Entertain the crowd. How's that? That's all I want.
Entertain the crowd? We have a crowd? Hi. Hey. I'm not good with crowds. But I know there's a list, and I will leave that to you. I can only think of a few off the top of my head, but that's, you know, off the top of my head. Some of them I absolutely loved.
I found the list. You're useless.
Hey, I found the list. I found a list. Your list is probably more accurate than mine, though.
Rated R comic book film. Are you guys ready? 1989's The Punisher. A Man Called Hero. I love that movie, by the way. 30 Days of Night. Man-Thing, which is Anthony's, you know, frolic room name. Tank Girl. The Latest Kingsman. Darkman. The Super. Crumb. Wanted. Immortal. Constantine. The Punisher, the 2004 version with Dolph Lundgren. Kick-Ass 2. Kick-Ass 1. The 1997 Spawn, which we talked about earlier. Ghost World. Punisher Warzone. Judge Dredd, the original 1995 version. The Watchmen. V for Vendetta. American Splendor. Sin City. Blade. Kick-Ass. 300. The Crow. The latest version of Dredd. And now Deadpool. And somehow a lot of people are misunderstanding the fact that this is the only rated R comic book film. Well, as you heard, they're wrong. But because of the popularity of the film, talk for the next Wolverine film that's coming out being rated R has become more and more serious. So,
which is, you know, personally something, I don't know what it's going to do to the franchise, but if it's the last time Hugh Jackman's going to play Wolverine, it might mean we get an actual accurate representation of Wolverine. So I think I'd be cool with that.
I'd like to see Wolverine Berserker mode. Just saying. The man
fantastic.
Is the best there is at what he does, and what he does is kill people. You can't portray that with PG-13, at least not accurately.
No. Wolverine's been very sedated. Well, sedate. Not sedated. He's been sedated a few times.
He's a mutant, not muted.
He's been very sedate in the last films because it's like, okay, the Logan I know is way more over the top than this. You know, the drinking, the smoking, the fighting. He's got freaking adamantium claws. How is it that there aren't dead bodies all around him in these films?
Right.
You know? Even accidentally, he's going to cut people up. That's what happens. But that isn't what we've gotten. So there are a bunch of Wolverine storylines that would make for a really cool movie. They'd just be violent to do accurately.
And they would actually have to go and take a darker tone with the films and whatnot. I mean, Deadpool, sure, it's rated R and was ultraviolet and crazy. However, it was successful not just because of that. It's because of the humor and the story and everything. When you look at Deadpool as a film, it had 5 scenes.
Yep.
You know, there wasn't a lot of acting going on. There wasn't a lot of dialogue. It was just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds. That's what made a successful formula for Deadpool. What's going to make a successful formula for movies like Wolverine and whatnot is a darker, depressive, murderous tone. So
that's the life Logan's lived.
Right.
It's been hard, and he's lived a long-ass time.
And in order to have that, you've got to show other characters in the Wolverine world. You know, including Deadpool. You know, you got to show the entire Weapon X program for what it was, not just it made one guy. At least in Deadpool, you got to see a flash of Marrow sitting on the table, which gave you the impression that other heroes or villains were being made. You know, Gina Carano's role, Ajax, so on. Like, these characters became, mutated bullies or bad guys.
Yeah.
So the same thing happened in the Weapon X program. That's where you got Sabretooth from, for Christ's sake. So Feral, and I could go on, but I'm not going to. The point is,
a lot came out of the Weapon X program.
And it wasn't pretty. So stop trying to baby it up and make it the actual film it deserves to be. So that's all I got on the Deadpool review. Anthony, anything else you want to add to it?
I'm pleasantly surprised, blah, blah. No, I'm still just surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did.
Anthony went into the film being forced. Like, yes. The only reason he went in there is because he had a free ticket.
Yep.
And was kicking and screaming the entire time, and I had to convince him to go. I was like, come on, dude, we're all going, your friends will be there. If anything, at least you have something to, someone to talk shit with about after the movie's over, you know? And he walked out of the film like, man, that was kind of cool, I liked it. I saw him laughing, which, if you know Anthony, he never laughs.
I do.
And he was very vocal afterwards.
Inside. It's inside. But no, I was actually laughing out loud during this film. The humor was... It was good. It worked. And you're right. It is Ryan Reynolds' brand of humor. So, that combined with the ultraviolence and some of the stop-motion stuff. Yeah, a couple of stop-motion scenes were, you know, the bullet time kind of thing. They were pretty awesome.
The opening credits had me. And I think I knew that that's what we were going to do.
I busted up laughing during the opening credits.
Because there was no credits. They gave credit to no one. It just said, you know, random cameo, random expected cameo, or the hot guy, all this crap. It was awesome. And he wore a Hugh Jackman fucking face mask.
Yes, he did.
It was awesome. Now I'm wondering if they will touch base on the storyline in the comics where Loki cursed Deadpool to look like Tom Cruise. I just want to see if that goes off, because that'd be awesome to see a Tom Cruise cameo in there. Just saying. I mean, I don't like the man, but it would be just awesome to see it. So with that, we'll go ahead and take another break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Be right back, guys.
Hey everyone, my name is Marissa Dollins, the co-author of Allo and the Steam Knot steampunk comic book published by Forbidden Panels Comics, and I just wanted to remind you guys to head on over to ForbiddenPanel.com and buy yourself your own copy of Allo and the Steam Knot issues 0 and number 1, and keep a lookout for upcoming issues this year. Hopefully we'll be able to get you our issue number 2, and hopefully we'll see you guys at WonderCon in March.
Welcome back, everybody. It's that sad time again. Time to wrap up another episode. So, we've hit you with all we've got for this time around. Be sure to check us out on the Forbidden Panel website. Make sure to stop by my column. I should be posting something in the next couple of days here for all of you to read and enjoy, or, you know, not enjoy. And if you don't, well, then screw you guys. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all over the interwebs. And for AJ, this is Anthony, saying we'll be back with you next week.
Episode 150! Should be fun!
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.